Hi, this is Sean Benson from Harvest Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. For more resources, log on to harvestwarrensburg.com.
Good morning. So in the middle of first service, in the middle of worship, the first service, the Holy Spirit changed my message again. He likes to do that, yeah. It's fun. He just added to it, so he didn't take anything away, which is good. So it's going to be longer. That's what Deidre said. She was like, you're taking out the 5 minutes because the pastor keeps talking too long. I think she was talking about you. Yeah, it's never me. All right, so I'm going to start off with just a little bit of about me. So about 21, this is what the Holy Spirit told me to drop in here. So about 21 years ago, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder. And the doctors just said, take this medicine and you'll still have symptoms, but, you know, you'll be better than you were without the medicine. And so for 20 years, basically, 20 years, I have just taken the medicine and dealt with the symptoms. And the symptoms, you know, can be somewhat managed with the medicine, but not always and not fully. And so there were so many times that one of the symptoms is that I get just extremely exhausted and just really struggle with being alert and clear thinking and that kind of thing. And so there were several times where, you know, well, for much of our marriage, you know, I'll take naps and stuff like that, but a lot of it's just to function with this autoimmune disorder. And there was one day, I don't know, about a year, well, a couple years ago, that I was outside, we were playing with the kids, and Josiah was, he had to have been 2 or so, and he was playing in the snow, and we were out there, and I was just absolutely 100% wiped out, and I shouldn't have been. It was the middle of the day, you know, and I was just absolutely overwhelmed, and I looked at Sean, and I was like, I'm so tired of living like this. I'm so tired of being exhausted all the time. It's just so frustrating. And around that time, Josiah was also having a lot of ear infections. And so we kept going to the doctor, and by the time they prescribed his 4th antibiotic in a row, the doctor just looked at me and she said, he's got to get ear tubes. And I was in the middle of like insurance issues, and we couldn't schedule the surgery. And so Marinelle had told me, she was like, I know it's weird, but take him to a chiropractor. And so she's like, he can help with the ears. And so he did, and he fixed it. Just I didn't have to have ear tubes. And I started going to this chiropractor for like my migraines and stuff like that. And one of the times he had asked me, he was like, why do you get migraines? What happens? And so when I was telling him, I said, well, part of it's just my autoimmune disorder that I have. And he looks at me, and he was like, I work with those all the time, and we see tremendous results. He was like, I would love to work with you on that. And I left, and I told Sean, I was like, I don't know. But he described it, and it made a lot of sense. And I was kind of processing through, do I want to do this? Do I not? It was a year and a half of me like trying to figure out. It was going to cost some money, but it was more than that. It was more just my fear to hope that I could actually be healthy that caused me to not move. Does that make sense? Like, it wasn't that I didn't want to be healthy. It was that I had a fear that I could even hope that I could get healthy. So I was afraid to hope that I could actually put my trust and faith in a doctor to see me get better. And when I was processing this message, I think that's what we do with a lot of our life with Jesus. We grow up in church. And a lot, depending on the church you guys come from, the church's background that we come from, you know, we grew up believing that we get saved and we go to heaven, but we believe that the middle part of it is really us working through, kind of living life exhausted all the time, tired of the way we act, tired of the responses that we have, tired of the sin issues that we deal with, and we live in this place where we're just literally just plowing through, just trying to make it through every single day. And then we come to a place where we start to realize that God actually has more for us, and that there might be a place that we can actually get healed. And then we're stuck in this tension because most of the time, with people that I talk to who haven't signed up for SOZOs or they haven't quite made the step into healing, their response is that they're afraid to hope for healing. They're scared of it. They have no idea what's on the other side, and they don't want to go into it. And they want healing. They want to be healed. They want to be whole. They want to be healthy. They want to treat their family well. But they're terrified of what's on the other side. And that's where they live. They live in this tension of just continuing to, I can plow through. I can just keep going. I can just keep pressing through because I know what that feels like. I know what that's like. And I understand how that works. And it's not perfect. It's not the best. But it is what I'm familiar with. And because I'm familiar with it, then I'll stay here because it's comfortable. And we have to make the choice to look at fear and to face it and to walk straight into it. You know, we have to make the choice. If we want freedom, if we really want freedom, we actually have to go, I don't care if I'm scared to hope, I'm going to choose to hope anyway because I would rather feel and maybe get to hear. You know, and that's where I've been for the last year and a half. I've been, or a year, I guess, I've been on this journey of having the doctor literally change my life, like not in a good way, but like you can't eat these things and you can't act like this and you have to do these things and you have to take all these medicines that make you feel like you're a grandma. And you know, like literally it's like I'm taking all these vitamins and stuff to build my immune system up, but it's changed something. I had to walk through, I'm having to walk through a lot of adjustments that are hard. And one of the things that caused me to not want to step into it was me going, I have to be ready. I have to actually, like when I say yes to this, I have to actually do it. You know, and I know that because my personality type likes to be comfortable, that stepping into the new stuff is hard for me, you know, and it's hard for me to make those changes and make them last and not to look at them like, oh, these are just going to be temporary, but to instead go, I'm walking these changes out for the rest of my life. This is going to be my new way of life. And that's what we do with the Lord. You know, we are, when we make the decision to walk away from the things that are holding us back, we have to make the choice that it's not just for a short period of time that we're going to make these shifts. We actually have to change the way that we think about what we're doing and the way that we think so that we can actually live and walk this out for the rest of our life. It has to become a mindset change. It has to become something that we do different. The way that we think is different. You know, instead of, so for instance, like one thing that they've cut out is gluten. So I love bread. Like, bread was life for me for a long time. I love it, you know, especially Italian bread with like dipped in, you know, oils and sauces and stuff. Like it's just incredible. But I have to change the way that I look at my food. And instead of going, I'm feeding it because I like this food. Instead, I'm going, I'm feeding this to me because it's giving life to me. There's a difference. You know, one of them is feeding my soul, and the other one is feeding my body for a lifetime. You know, and there's a mental shift that we have to make when it comes to those kinds of things that I've been walking out for a year. And for the first eight months or so, you know, I didn't see any shifts. Not in my body, not in my fatigue, not in my energy levels. But I had hope for the future that this doctor was trustworthy and that he had a plan that was going to work. And he had told me from the beginning, he said, this is going to take time. He was like, you didn't get sick in a minute. He was like, and you're not going to get healthy in a minute. This is a process of healing. And that's where I want to kind of take us today. One of them is just the idea that this is a process. Like, when we walk into a place where we want freedom, and we look at freedom, and it's way over there, there's a process that it takes to get there. God doesn't just sovereignly heal us of our heart wounds. It'd be nice if he did. Most of the time, I should say, he doesn't really heal us of our character flaws, the things that we are in control of. He'll heal us of different things. Like there was one day, one of the things that that I was able to get healed from was just, I can't even think of what it was called now, like, just rejection. And literally somebody had prayed over me and they broke it off of me. And I could feel the shift in my spirit where all of a sudden it was like I knew something had shifted. But then there was the process of me going from this, there's that shifting that just happened, I can feel it, to an encounter with somebody who I knew was going to reject me. And my response had to shift. I couldn't continue to walk in the same way that I had been walking my entire life, because I knew something had shifted and I got a choice to make. In that moment when I saw that girl and I knew that she was going to reject me, and I was like, and she had never even talked to me, by the way. It wasn't like she was actually rude. It was my perception of her, honestly. She was a very sweet lady. And but I saw her and I was like, you know, my immediate response was like it had always been, oh, nope, not going to talk to her. And the Holy Spirit was like, but you've been healed. Maybe she's different than you thought. And I was like, that seems scary. And, you know, and yet we stepped out and I talked to her and she was one of the sweetest girls ever. She wasn't rejecting me. I was misjudging her because of my stuff that I was carrying. But I had to begin to shift my mindset about people and about the way that I viewed people and the judgments that I had made on people. And I had to walk that out. If I had gotten healed and stayed there, I wouldn't have kept my healing. I would have lost it because I didn't change. I have to make the steps. I have to walk it out. One of the things that I see a lot of Christians do is we recognize that we have areas that need to be healed. I have several things I just kind of wrote on there, and it's not just sins. They're sins, those, you know, we're very aware of. But things like we're fighting for our marriage. We recognize we have fears in us that the Holy Spirit has told us about that we're not willing to address yet. You know, negative reactions, like something happens and we just react and we don't like it, but it just happens. And worry that plagues us, critical mindsets, you know, spirit of rage and anger, those types of things, you know, we have, we want to see God heal. You know, and what happens is, you know, we're praying for our marriage to get healed, and then we just kind of wait. And we're like, okay, Jesus, can you, like, my marriage is a mess. Please come and fix it. I'm just going to wait on you. And so I continue to just ask him over and over again and just wait. And I don't see anything happen, you know, where I have broken this, you know, this place where, like, fear just runs my life. And I'm like, God, come and just heal me of this fear. And I pray and I ask him and then I wait. I don't feel like anything happens, you know, and I just continue to wait for him. And, you know, I come into church on Sunday after, you know, just like maybe having a blow up in my marriage again. I walk into church and I'm sitting there and I'm in worship and I'm just convicted by the Spirit. And I'm like, God, you know, I've asked you to heal my marriage. It's been years. I'm just going to wait on you. And, you know, or maybe I'm just overcome by shame because I knew that the way I responded in my marriage wasn't appropriate. And so I'm sitting there just overwhelmed by shame, by the enemy coming in and shaming me. And I wait. We feel like that's a really scriptural and spiritual thing to do. But the word wait in the Old Testament, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. That's not sitting on the couch waiting. That's not what that means. That word, Marinelle had told me, she was like, that word actually means to be a waiter, to have the waiter towel and to be attentive and to be in the presence of the person, watching them and serving them and doing something. You're actually taking your wait. You're not sitting back on the couch watching TV going, okay, God, when are you going to fix this? I guess you're doing something in the middle of it. I guess something's happening. I'm going to just trust that you're doing something good for my good. I'm waiting. You know, instead, it's I'm actively serving the one who I'm asking something from. I'm actively coming in, and I'm in their face, and I'm watching for their needs, and I'm changing my perspective. Does that make sense? We're not called to just sit and wait for God to come in and fix these things. Hoping for the sovereign king to come and fix our problems when the sovereign king has already given us the power and the authority to walk out our freedom. You know, so many times we believe that we're being spiritual when we go, okay, I've given it over to God. He's doing something with it. And God's going, man, I've given you everything to do this. I've already given you the freedom. I've already died for this. I've already given you the Holy Spirit. I've given you everything you need to walk this out. And you're sitting on the couch. You know, I had a picture, I ended with this earlier this morning, but I had this picture of the Holy Spirit, and he gives us, the Bible talks about giving us white clothes, white garments, you know, that represent our sinlessness, and he gives us this white, beautiful garment. For you guys, maybe it's a nice suit or something, I don't know, but we go and we're like, wow, this is beautiful, you know, and then we accidentally bump into something and we find that we get it all stained and dirty, and we're like, oh, man, you know, and we run back to God and we're like, wash it, wash me. fix me, wash me. But God's sitting back and he's going, I've given this to you. It's yours now. You get to keep it clean. You get to rewash it when it's dirty. You know, and then he doesn't just tell us, you go wash it. He also says, I'm giving you the helper who's going to teach you how to wash it. So mom is going to come in, say it like this. Mom is going to come in and she's going to go, okay, you got your clothes dirty. This is how we wash things. This is how we raise you up. You're going to take your clothes, you're going to throw it in the washing machine, you're going to turn, this is how you're going to get your stains out. And she teaches you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I'm not calling the Holy Spirit a she. Don't hear that. I'm just making a point. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to keep ourselves clean, how to clean ourselves, how to walk in a new way, how to make sure that we don't get dirty. We do that with our kids. Hey, don't climb the tree in your best clothes. You're probably going to get dirty. Don't run in the mud puddle in the middle of your best clothes. We teach them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Bible does. We don't know what the Bible tells us to do if we don't read the Bible. John 14, 11 through 21. It says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. This is where Sean preached at some from last week. He talked about this and doing greater works, going out and actually doing kingdom work. This is all in the same context. So from last week, even swinging into this week, it's all in the same context. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I'm going to give you different names for the helper. This is the different words that this word translates into. They actually say that the word helper in this scripture can't be contained in the English language. It's not, you can't just use one word and describe the context of this, of the Holy Spirit and what his name means. Other words it could translate into, it's all of them. It's not one of them. It's all of them combined. Helper, counselor, advocate, comforter, guide, one who is called alongside, one who saves. And that one has the inference of continuing to walk us into righteousness. And encourager. So he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not know him or see him. But you will know him because he abides with you and you will be in, and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. It says, you will know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And then he goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. One of the best ways that we learn how to walk, to get from the place that we need healed to the place where we see freedom, is that we learn to understand that we are not orphans. You know, when he uses this scripture and he's talking about this scripture, he says he will give you another helper. It literally, the word another means in the same manner as. And then, so he's literally saying someone just like me. And then when you go on and you read it and it says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. What he's actually saying is, he's literally, as his body was ascended into heaven, he's literally sending the spirit of him back into us. So he's saying, sometimes we read this, and because the first part of this chapter seems to be talking about heaven, I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go, you know, like, he's talking about preparing a place for us to live. But when we actually read this part of it, he's not saying, when you go to heaven, I'm going to be with you. When you go to heaven, you won't be an orphan there. He's saying, literally, as I ascend, I'm actually going to send my spirit back into you, and he's going to come and live in you. He's going to indwell you. He's going to come and be with us. That's who the Holy Spirit is. So Jesus was understanding that if he had left and just said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, you know, hang tight here on earth and keep working out, keep walking, we were going to go right back into the old mindset, which was works-based religion. I do good, and therefore I'm good. Instead, he says, no, I understand that if I did that, then you're going to be working really hard, because that's what orphans do, right? They have to work to find a place. They have to work to find their home, you know? And so what they literally do, he was going, I understand that if I do that, if I just leave you and I go, you're going to become an orphan again. And so what he said is, I'm not leaving you like that. He hits it straight on. He literally says, this is something that all of humanity deals with. You will feel orphaned. And so I'm telling you that when I go, I'm literally depositing my spirit in us. It's the same concept, while completely negative, the idea of going to a medium and having a medium have a spirit come from the dead and inhabit the medium. It's that kind of idea. It's like his spirit coming in and indwelling that person and staying with us. Now, obviously, he doesn't possess us like that, but that's the negative side of it. It's that same picture of the Spirit of God coming in and resting in us and talking to us and communing with us and teaching us and guiding us. So I think the first thing we have to understand is that he's near. He's filled us with his Spirit. He's right here with us all the time. He's not someone who's far away. He's not a God who's far off. He is right here, right with me. And so when I know that I'm here in sin or here in pain and I need to get over here, I'm not here alone. I'm right here and God's right here with me. He's not scared of my situation. He's not scared of where I'm at. He's right here. He's right here with me, and he's going to be right here with me when I'm over here, and he's going to be right here with me in the middle of my journey. Every single step that I am in, he's going to be close to me. He's with me. He's in me. He's living in me. Does that make sense? Okay, the second thing that we have to do to get from here to there is we have to adapt a culture and a mindset of repentance. And repentance isn't an apology. Hey, God, I'm really sorry. I messed up again. You know, hey, God, I totally screwed that up. You know, that I just exploded and that was really bad. Would you please forgive me? That's not repentance. That's an apology. That's I'm sorry. You know, and that's not what the Bible actually says to do with our sin. There's I think it's number 3, Ellie, the quote that I have. I've seen this floating around Facebook a little bit, and it says, we repent enough to be forgiven, but do we surrender enough to be changed? And it seems like a really great, great question. But there's a problem with the word repent here. Because when we use this mindset, this is really just saying, I'm sorry. And I'm going to be sorry enough to be forgiven. But the word repent actually means a change in your thinking that creates a new pattern of behavior. We don't repent by saying we're sorry. We're sorry doesn't do anything for anybody. It might make my guilt go away, but it doesn't change me. It doesn't fix the problem, and it doesn't draw me closer to the Lord. I'm sorry just means I feel guilty and I don't want to feel guilty anymore, so can you please tell me that you forgive me so that I feel better? That's what I'm sorry is. Repentance, Thayer's actually says this. It says, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. I'm going to read that in English. I'm going to make changes to my life, amend, with both intentionality and intensity, which is what the word heartily means, because I despise my sins so much that I'm making sure I will never repeat them. I'm getting to the root of why my sin happens at all. What's the root of why my marriage is falling apart at all? What's the root of why I have this mindset of, you know, of critical thinking, critical patterns of judgments and of, offense? Why am I constantly offended by something? If I'm constantly offended by something, I need to repent. I need to get to the root of why I have offense running through my heart all the time. Where's the broken spot? Where's the place in me that needs to be healed? And if I can find out what that is, then I begin to make the changes in my life. And that is what repentance is. If your behavior does not change, then you have not repented. It's a really true statement, because repentance has to come with change. It's a change of behavior. It's a change of mindset that creates the behavior change, because we can change our behavior. We can try really hard for a couple weeks. We've all done it. You know, I'm going to try to quit biting my nails and I'll last about 3 hours. You know, because we're trying really hard, but we're not actually changing what the problem is. You know, sometimes when we stop biting our nails, we start picking at our fingers, or we start eating. You know, we stop smoking and all of a sudden we start eating because we're trying to feed the habit that we have, because we haven't changed the heart wound that's attached to it. Does that make sense? We have to find out what's going on inside of us, and we have to root that out. And that's the hard part that gets us from here to there. That's the middle ground, is us rooting it out and finding it. And the hard part is, that means we actually have to get off the couch and do something. So let me show you a statistic here on, I think it's number, yeah, there you go. Good job. The average American spends 4 hours a day watching TV. And on top of that, they spend another 2 hours plus some, 2.2 hours a day on social media. So over, that's not including your work time, so over 6 hours a day is spent on TV and social media for the average American. Now the next part of this is a little bit messed up, because I didn't know how to do it on a graph properly. Because we spend, as Christians, we spend about 10 to 20 minutes reading our Bible a day and less than 10 minutes a day in prayer. The problem with that statistic is that it's only true for 50% of Christians. The other 50% of Christians don't pray or read on a regular basis. So when we're looking at a daily statistic here, we'll spend, the average American spends 6 hours a day reading and watching TV, or looking at our social media and watching TV, and less than 30 minutes a day doing the things that actually change our mindset and change our life. Less than half of us even do any prayer or Bible reading on a daily basis at all. We want God to heal us. We sit over here and we ask Him, God, come and change my marriage. God, I need you to break through in this area. God, I need healing in this area. God, I'm broken here. I keep thinking in critical mindsets. I keep just living in offense every single day, and I need you to come and heal me. And He says, come and spend time with me. I'm like, I'd rather watch TV. I'd rather sit on the couch and watch TV. Why don't you just come and heal me while I'm watching TV? Romans 12:2 says, and you won't be conformed to this world, because God will transform you by renewing your mind, so that He will prove what the will of God is. You will be good and acceptable and perfect. Does that sound right? Is there something wrong with this scripture?
Feels like a trick to me.
Feels like a trick. Look at it again. You won't be conformed to this world. Let's see the other one, Ellie. Oh, that one looks a little different. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The difference between the two was, one said God was going to do it, but this is the actual scripture. We believe, verse 1, the first time, which was actually the MV was Misty's version, just because I wanted to have something that looked proper in there. But it's literally, that's the mindset that we carry in the church. We're going to sit back. God already did everything. We're going to let Him come, and we're going to let Him heal us. But the Bible says we actually have responsibility. That's the middle part. That's the part we don't like. But that's what it says. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who's supposed to renew your mind? Does God do it for us? No. We have a responsibility to walk out our salvation. We have a responsibility to walk out reconciliation with the Lord. And that's what this is. We get conformed to this world when we spend 6 hours watching TV and 2 hours, and social media. We're conforming to the world. We come in, and most of us, honestly, we work in the secular world, so we're in the world around all kinds of junk all day long at work. And then we go home and we veg out in front of the culture of TV, of the world's TV, the culture of TV. And we watch that, and we're on our phones, and we're looking at Facebook. That's not usually, or Instagram, that's not usually edifying either. Most of these are not things that are going to renew our mind. Those are things that are conforming us to this world. They're keeping us in patterns of thinking. They're teaching us that the critical mindset that we carry, the judgment that we see the world through, the offense that we live in, those are normal things that we should all walk in, because we see it on sitcoms. We see it on, all this stuff. We see it in social media. I mean, good grief. Anybody who has any opinion, they get blasted, because that's the culture that we've created. That's American culture, and it's not godly. And so if we're not supposed to be conformed to the world, but we're submersing ourselves into it, what's going to happen? We become like what we behold. If we behold the world all the time, we're becoming like it. If we're beholding the Lord all the time, what are we going to become like? That's 1 John 2. That's the same scripture that Sean pulled out the other day that says we're going to become like him, to walk as he walked. We can only walk as he walked when we choose to turn off the TV, get off the couch, and to do the work that God's called us to do, to go after him and behold him until we become like him, until we're metamorphosed. That's the idea of the butterfly. It's the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. That's what he's called us to become like. He's called us to be so different than the former person that we were that nobody can even distinguish us. If everybody still looks at us and they're like, that's still the same worm that used to be, partying with us, then you haven't been metamorphosized. You haven't been changed. You haven't been renewed. Your mindset hasn't been adjusted. And the last part is we have to stop waiting on Jesus to heal our problem. We believe in miracles, absolutely. He does things, he heals people. But there's a process between the healing and the freedom that we have responsibility for. And God says, I've given you power and authority to walk in it. This is what I love about him. He didn't leave us as orphans, so he dropped in a helper, all in one, a teacher, a counselor, the God who empowers us. He's the spirit of grace, which is the freedom to not sin, the choice. It's the power that comes in us that gives us the power to not sin. He is the spirit of truth, the spirit of holiness. He's the spirit of wisdom, of revelation, of prophecy, and he's the spirit of life. What else do we need? We have God living inside of us. We can easily get over there, but it's going to take work. And the biggest reason that we don't move from here to there a lot of times is because we have gotten really good at hardening our hearts. The Bible talks about, there's actually a scripture that says, I'm saying that wrong. There's a song that we sing by Lifehouse that says, how can I stand here and not be moved by you? And I love it. It's one of my favorite verses. It's one of my favorite songs, because every time I hear that song and I'm singing, I'm reminded that there are times when I've been in worship and I haven't been moved by the Holy Spirit. There are times when I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't feel anything. And then I realize that the reason I'm not feeling any shifts in my spirit is because my heart's hardened. And so when I hear that song, it takes me to a place where I go, what part of me needs to be softened before you? Is there a part of my heart that's become hardened? Is there a part of me who has spent so much time dealing with hard things that I've become a little bit jaded, like what Sean was saying today? Like I've put up defense mechanisms that's hardened my heart to you, Holy Spirit. When I harden my heart from help, because I believe that I have to do it all myself, I've hardened my heart against the helper, the Holy Spirit. When I refuse to be taught because I have a need to be perceived as righteous, I've hardened my heart to the teacher. When I don't seek out counsel or allow someone's unrequested counsel to weigh into my decisions, I'm hardening my heart against the counselor. When I refuse to do the hard work of sanctification, the process of rooting out my sin, I'm hardening my heart to the one who empowers me. When I continue to choose to sin, when I'm angry, hurt, afraid, whatever, I'm hardening my heart and offending the Spirit of grace. That's out of Hebrews. That's a really scary scripture to read into. When I know the truth and I refuse to speak it or to walk it out, I'm hardening my heart to the Spirit of truth. Judas spent 3 years every single day in the presence of God, and he wasn't changed. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to hold on to the sin and the junk that's in my life and walk away going, I've spent every single day in your presence, God, but I still carry all this baggage around. And you died for it, but I refuse to give it up because I'm scared. I'm not going to be that person. That's not who God's called us to be. He's called us to walk in righteousness, and he's given us everything we need to walk out life in godliness. But we actually have to make the choice to move from the couch of waiting, and we have to start plugging away, and we have to start making lifestyle changes. And one of the things I liken back to, like, my story of walking through this health journey that I've been on has really been the fact that I'm in a home filled with people who don't eat like me anymore. And they eat bread and cake and cookies and all the goodness in front of me. And I have had to learn, not because they're bad, they're not called to walk where I'm at, you know? But there are days when I'm like, especially in the beginning, I was like, I would kill for that piece of bread. Like, you know, and like, I just look at him like, I so want that. And so I'm living in this culture where they're eating things that I'm not allowed to eat anymore. So looking at that from the spiritual side, if I'm living in a household who is constantly offended by everybody and who jumps on the bandwagon of offense, and they're like, oh, you're right, that person was totally against you, and you're right, that person was totally against you. And, you know, and I'm living in that culture, and the Holy Spirit's called me to be over here, walking a life that's offended, not offended, and free from pain and that and from those things, it's really hard to make that transition because everything in me is used to this. This is comfortable. But as I begin the journey, I have to be willing to walk away from it. And even when I'm living in that culture where they're eating like I want to eat and like I'm used to eating and like it's comfortable, or, you know, when you get sick and you want a cracker and you can't have a cracker because it's filled with things that are going to destroy your body, you know, you're like, everything in me wants that, but I'm choosing something different. You know, and the mindset has to be shifted where we go from I'm feeding my soul with food to I'm feeding my body for life. There's a mindset shift that has to happen where I go, I could eat that cracker now and that might make me feel good when I'm sick, but it's actually going to make me feel worse in about 3 days. The long-term effects for my personal body is going to be detrimental. And so I'm going to walk away from it because I have a vision of what my life can look like free from this autoimmune disorder. Does that make sense? When we're looking at sin, we have to go, this might feed my soul to be offended with that person for a little bit. Like, they did something wrong, and I'm upset, and I'm offended, and I have the right to hold on to it, and I want to hold on to it, but I'm called to walk over here and to forgive. And I have to go, everything in my soul wants that. I want to hold on to offense. I want to hold on to that and be angry for a little while. But I'm going to take the choice to feed my life soul food that's going to fill me and heal me to get over here. And so I'm going to release that offense. I'm going to forgive them. And I'm going to start calling on who I know that person's supposed to be in God. And I'm going to start declaring that that's who they are. And I'm going to walk over here and stand over here in a place where I'm unoffended and where I can walk in a place where I can be free for life. Does that make sense? It takes a lot of work in the middle. But just through my own life, I can tell you, you know, I've walked through these things. I've walked out so many different things, and I'm still walking out some things. But every time I get victory, I look back and I go, I don't even recognize that girl anymore. I don't know who she is. I can kind of remember that she used to be like this, but that's not the same person I used to be. You know, and I mean, you guys are seeing it right now. For those of you who've been in the church for several years, you've seen me walk out of fear and into, well, here, standing and talking to you, you know, but every day when I was living in fear and the Holy Spirit told me that it was sin, every day for a year, literally 15, 20 times a day, I had to war to get my healing, and I didn't see it for months. It took 12 months, plus some. It's been a few years. I'm still fighting fear, but those, it took that season of me literally going hard after it, doing the hard work, taking the scripture and putting it in front of me, feeding on the word of God, standing in his presence and worshiping in the middle of the pain, in the middle of it going, am I ever going to get free? But I have a hope that this doctor, the Holy Spirit, knows how to get me here, and this is the prescription he's given me. And so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it until I get healed. And I can look back and, you know, now, so looking at it, 21 years ago when we were first married, if Sean had to leave for the weekend, every single house light in my house, literally, from the top all the way to the basement, was on. Outside was lit up. I had the radio going, the TV going. I'm serious. I'm not exaggerating any of it. Really loud. The dog was on the bed with me. The cat was on the bed with me. And I would lay there and read a book with all that going on until I would pass out asleep. And I would, that's how I lived. And now when Sean leaves for the weekend, usually I'm mad because I don't get to go and I have the kids. But beyond that, I go to bed at like 8 if I can get the kids to bed. And I turn out all of my lights and my house is pitch black. And I go to sleep and the dog is not allowed on my bed. And we don't have a cat because we're allergic. But, you know, I go to sleep and I'm in peace. And I don't recognize who that girl was anymore. Because I've made the choice to walk and do the hard stuff for a season until I got to the victory. It's not easy, but this is what it's called to be a Christian. We have to walk in a lifestyle of repentance. And we have to be willing to do the hard stuff. You see. My last page. I think being a Christian is the hardest thing I've ever done. There's so many things that we've done that's been hard. But walking out my Christian faith has been the hardest thing we've ever been in. Sean, I think you can agree with that too. It's literally the hardest thing we've ever done because we're called to die every single day. And we really like being comfortable. My personality type doesn't like tension. I don't like status quo. I don't like climbing mountains. I would rather just be helicoptered up and dropped on top. You know, I don't like doing the hard work. I don't like it at all. I don't like having to change the way I eat because I love my comfort food, because I love to be comfortable, because that's who God's made me to be. But he's also called me to change. And he's called me to not take the pieces of me that are part him, that he's created in me, that are beautiful. He hasn't called me to use them as an excuse to stay where I'm at. Just because I've been just because my personality type likes the status quo doesn't mean that that's where I'm supposed to be in the world with the Lord. He's called me to be radical for him. And so I have to step out of that and to go, there are parts of this that are beautiful and good, but there are parts of it that are holding me back and making it a crutch for me because you've called me to be tenacious and to go after you. And status quo and tenacious, they don't work together. So I have to drop one and choose the other. You know, that's who we're called to be. As believers, if we're going to grow in the Lord, if you want to get out of your stuck place, you want your marriage to be healed, go after the Lord with everything in you. Read your Bible. Pray. Don't just pray for him to heal your marriage. Wait on him. God, what's on your heart? Where are you at? Show me. What do I need to adjust in me? Start fixing me. Start healing me, Jesus, and let's see what happens in your marriage. If I need to get free from offense, I'm going to go before the Lord and be like, okay, God, what does the Bible say about offense? What do I need to do with this? How do I handle people? How do I deal with people who are constantly hurting me? What's mindsets that I'm believing that are causing me to see the world through these eyes? And I'm going to go after it with tenacity. I'm going to turn off my TV, take time, and actually devote my life to spending it, studying him, worshiping him, praying with him, talking to him, using him in a good way, like he's your teacher. He wants to teach you. He's your advocate. He wants to be an advocate for you. He's your helper. He wants to help you. But we ignore him so many times, you know. I'll end with this. My 5-year-old came up to me yesterday when I was doing my quiet time, and he comes up and plops on the chair with me. He's like, "What you reading?" And so I told him, I said, "I'm reading the Bible." And so we started, he was like, "What is it?" And so I started reading to him, and I happened to be reading in John. I actually pulled John from this because I was reading it yesterday, and it just hit me. And I was overwhelmed with how the Lord has literally called us to walk in his commandments, and he's not only told us that, but he actually has given us God to live in us to do that. I was just overwhelmed with it. And so I was telling him about it, and I said, you know how sometimes when you're doing something, I said, and you know that what you're getting ready to do is wrong, and the Holy Spirit, I said, and you hear in your head, "Don't do that. You're not supposed to do that." And he goes, "Oh yeah, I know what, I've heard that before." And I said, "Yeah," I said, "that's the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you. You get to listen to him. Isn't it so cool that the Holy Spirit wants to tell you not to do something wrong?" And he was like, "Oh, guys, if my 5-year-old can hear the Holy Spirit and can understand when he's whispering to him, 'Hey, don't do that,' we all have the opportunity to do that." And then we just hear that, and then we go, "Okay." And I take a step. "Okay," and I'll take another step. And pretty soon, it might take some time, and for the little bit of time, you might not feel like you're getting any progress. Pretty soon, you're going to be way over here looking back and going, "I don't even know who that person was, because I just listened to the Holy Spirit and said yes every single moment." Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Jesus, yeah, just thank you that you have literally indwelled us to bring us life and freedom. God, that you have given us everything that we need to walk out our freedom in you, God. You've given us wisdom, deposited in us as the Holy Spirit. You've given us grace, deposited in us as the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the only thing you don't do, God, is actually move our feet for us. And so, God, we just ask that you would continue to shout really loud at us. Help us, guide us, direct us. And God, we choose to soften our hearts. God, we choose to ask you for the areas that our hearts are hardened, God. Where are we hardened? Do we hate receiving counsel from people? Do we refuse to ask for help when we need it from people? Yeah, God, we just say that if we do those things, God, we repent and we ask that you would soften our hearts. Give us humility to say we have a need and you meet us through people, God. We just choose, I make the commitment to continue to pursue your presence more, God, to read your word more, God, to step in and just continue to pray without ceasing, to learn how to make that a mindset and a lifestyle where every moment of every day I'm just worshiping you, God, and thanking you and talking to you, Father, because you're right here. God, I just declare out that God is near today. Philippians 4 said, God is near. So, Father, we just thank you that you're here. You never leave us. And you're ready to be with us as we take every single step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to contact us or would like more information about our church or additional podcasts or resources, please visit us online at harvestwarrensburg.com. We hope to see you soon.